This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Another episode of Clickbait. We're so happy to be here, like usual. Bachelor Nation Breakdown, Clickbait of the Week. And then our guest is Ethan. He just got eliminated. He was one of Rachel's guys. He called Tino a baby back bitch. a lot of people are talking about that on the internet, so we're going to talk a little bit about that with him. Just excited to have him on, chat, hear about his experience, whatnot. How is everybody doing?
Let's talk about you, Joe.
All right. I mean, I asked you guys, but we could talk about me.
I'm
okay.
What
would you like to talk about?
I want to know, you were on a beach.
I was in Mexico.
Yes, you were back. Every time, you know, Paradise couples go back to Mexico, I just need to know. Is it like the first time?
Well, I would like to say yes, but we were in Mexico after Paradise. We went to Tulum. So,
was this trip just like a full blown influencer trip?
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, we went out to dinner with Nick in LA like about like a month and a half ago, and he had mentioned he was going to Mexico if we wanted to go. And we're like, yeah, sure, we'll go for the weekend. So yeah, and then there ended up being a lot more people there. But everyone,
you didn't
know
that these people were going to be there?
No.
Yeah, I thought it was a couples trip.
So you thought it was a romantic couples trip with you, Nick, Natalie, and Bay.
Well, no, actually, Nick had mentioned it. Nick mentioned that there was going to be potentially other couples there too. So I just was assuming there was going to be people. But I'm not somebody that really asks a lot of questions.
So it was a couples trip. So it was a couples trip.
Yeah, I guess so.
Plus Nate and Rodney.
Wasn't Rodney there? Yeah, I'm like, yeah. Nate and Rodney were together. They were running together.
But honestly, it was the resort was really nice. It was chill. You know, a quick little 3-day Mexico trip's pretty nice. So I'm not complaining. How about this? I was walking across the street yesterday. A fucking bird shit on me.
Good luck!
Yeah. All over my Well, I don't know. Let's see. Hopefully something good happens. What would you do, though? You're walking across the street. I'm headed to the gym, and a bird right across my shirt.
On your knee, too, right? On your leg?
Yeah, a little bit. A little drop on my knee, but I brushed that off real quick. Do you turn around and go home, or do you go where you're going? No, I was going to the gym.
Did it stink?
No, it didn't stink.
Truly? Oh, if it didn't stink, then no.
Yeah, I just left it, went to the gym, and then came back and showered. It wasn't on my skin. It was just on my shirt.
Truly, I would have went home. I would have, because honestly. No, because I believe in redirection. I'm like, oh, the Lord trying to redirect me. I'm not going to the gym today. Honey, no. I'm going
home. What if
home.
You lifted your shirt to wipe your sweat and you wiped bird shit on your face? That would just be the last fucking straw for me, man.
Well, that's really gross. But what I had did, so it you know, it landed in the middle of my shirt, so then I wiped it off. And then I was like, I'm already halfway to the gym. Let me just go to the gym, work out, and then go home and change and shower.
See, God knows.
It wasn't shit on my face or in my hair. Like if it got in my hair, I would have went home.
Have you ever, Tia, had this happen to you? Have a bird ever pooped on you before?
I don't think so.
I will say you don't forget it when it happens. It happened to me. I was in South Africa with my grandma, and I was like tanning. I was like 7, and it just pooped on my leg. I said, oh.
Gotta go.
I'll never forget it now.
Never forget.
Yeah, supposedly it is good luck.
Yeah, you better manifest some shit, Joe.
Speaking of birds, have y'all seen the new poster for Bachelor in Paradise with the flamingos?
Yeah.
Y'all.
What did it say? Everybody wants to flock or loves to flock?
I think everybody loves to flock. But
we told me fuck in the night. We fuck in the night. We fuck in the night. Hey.
I think it's cute.
I just love how this show is just like they put these like sexual innuendos out there like we're 11 years old. And everybody that watches the show,
I mean, don't have to sign a waiver.
Everybody that watches the show is older. I mean, it's on television, so you have an older demographic as it is. And then people are like, oh my God, two blow up flamingos. No, you didn't.
To be clear, I brought this up as our first Bachelor Nation breakdown of the day because Wells was teasing a really sexy season of BIP. He said, you know, normally the people are hot, but this season they're just way hotter. So I guess is why we're talking about flocking.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I actually thought last season was the hottest. That they've ever had.
Did. Of course you did, Joe. Wait, you both have been in Paradise twice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I went once. Have y'all ever seen a flamingo?
Down there? No. Lizard, maybe. No flamingos.
Yeah, no flamingos. No flamingos.
I never saw a flamingo either. I will say there
everyone's
are...
down to flop. DTF.
Down, but, yeah. There you go.
But I will say that... you know, they do have those weird-ass looking birds, though. What are those birds called? You know those birds that, like, just come and, like, stare at you on the beach? Those with the long necks. They're not flamingos. But there are
a
those...
crane? Seagull?
Seagulls?
It's not seagulls. It's those weird birds. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
I don't remember really any birds. I just remember the crabs.
Oh, yeah, the crabs and the crabs are on and shit.
There are birds out there. See, now, if I had my phone, I would show y'all some pictures because there were some creepy-ass birds. Every time I was on the beach, those birds would come and be like, what's up, what's up, what's up,
yeah.
What's up?
No, crabs and the bugs.
I do. Not saying that just because it was technically like the only show I was on in the franchise. I do prefer Paradise over Bachelor and Bachelorette because I just feel like it's more lighthearted and like a lot and just fun to watch. And
like as a viewer, yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's just so much going on. Like even when you're there in real time, there's so much going on. Like 100 yards away from you and you may not even know what it is.
How many couples hit the fantasy or not fantasy suites?
Boom, boom, room.
Yeah.
Oh, let's do a record. Let's do like four. If they're really hot. They might as well just be.
Well,
wait, you're talking about on our season? Together.
No, I'm saying, what do we think? If we're going to, let's.
Well, let's
play some
wait.
Bets
can we
here.
Go back
let's
to
have a little
our
fun.
Can we go back to our season for a second so we can compare or like we can get a number? Like, cause
sure.
Marissa and Riley.
Yeah.
Kenny and Mari.
Yeah.
I think those are the only two couples that was in the Boom Boom Room. Really? Like, right? Not Fantasy Suites, but Boom Boom Room.
Yeah.
Right?
And they stayed together like every night. It became just like a
There was one other
couple
there
thing.
Was one other There
oh,
was one other
Jimmy and Kenny.
Yeah, I just didn't
Jimmy.
Want
to. Oh,
like,
yeah,
Jimmy.
Okay,
that.
So
yeah,
total
yeah,
that's
yeah.
three. Wait, that's five people, right?
Yeah.
Four people.
Yeah.
Five people. Okay, so five people went to the Boom Boom Room.
Yeah.
So how many people we think are going to go,
And I would say every year, I think it's around that number. Tia, I don't remember our season, but I think there definitely was two couples that went.
Who was it, though?
Kevin and Astrid.
And every
Chris,
night.
Chris and Crystal went. And I'm assuming
that's
some.
Right.
And I think... I don't know, but I would say there was at least four, for sure.
I don't know why. I don't think that many people are going to go to the Boom Boom Room this season, even though they're saying down to flocking and flaking.
I'm with you. I go the opposite. I think the opposite. I go the opposite of what they're
also,
putting out.
We're older. I think like a lot of the people were older on our season, right? Than this season. Not saying that matters per se, but
honestly, Astrid came out of there every damn morning looking so refreshed because she got to sleep in the AC and do all her skincare at one sink.
AC.
Didn't have to share a sink with anybody. And I was like, damn, Colton, you trying to go in there just for the AC? And he shot my ass down.
No.
But he brought
his own AC.
He sure did.
He brought his own.
He brought his own AC. He said, I am prepared.
All right. The stylist for The Bachelorette, Carrie Fettman, who has been the stylist for many years, as far as I know, responds to viewers saying he must hate Rachel for putting her in the outfits that he does. Mm-mm. But he defended himself and said, would you rather wear these super fun, cool, high-end, you know, couture dresses that you would never get to wear otherwise, most likely, or would you just want to play it safe with the silky, satiny thing? And I agree with him. I think Rachel looked great. She always says.
I just got to say, honestly, they treat these leads like they are children. Like, Carrie's just like, you, wear this. You,
yeah,
wear this.
Like, she like, has a choice.
She
damn.
Put it on. Yeah. It's the same thing with, like, Katie's season, right? Everyone was like, why is she wearing this? Why is she wearing this? Because that's what she wanted to put on. Like, yeah. I would be like, you know, I've worked with stylists before, and they're like, oh, I love this. I love this. Yeah, that's not my body type. I don't want to wear that. And I just say that, you know, and vice versa. But, like, the girl is going on TV. She, of course, wants to feel good in whatever she's wearing. She has a choice in this. It's not like he's some, like, tyrant that's like, you wear this. You wear this. Yeah. Blah, you know?
I know. Becca always has the best things to say about Carrie, too.
So does Rachel Lindsay.
Gina, the makeup artist. Yeah.
Yeah. So does Rachel Lindsay. She's like, oh, my God, Carrie's amazing, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, they all say how amazing and great he is.
I mean, these leads, they really just get it all, don't they? Get stylists. Well, that's us.
Well, Joe, you were a style king. Never forget the socks and those damn red shoes.
People talked about it, which I knew was going to happen. That was a strategic move.
Can you imagine if they did have hair and makeup for everybody, how freaking long that would take?
Oh, we would never get out of there.
I did have my sister's friend text me randomly and was like, I have to know, do these guys get styled? Because, I mean, they're on a cruise ship. Like, do they just have all these suits? I will say the guys have been slaying in these suits. They have.
They get haircuts, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but they rewear their suits.
Yeah, they just change the undershirt. And I told him, I was like, no, we actually don't get styled. But if there's a store or something, you know, we have been able to go to a store if there's a store that's available. But I think Rachel looks great. I think, you know, anytime you put two women somewhere, everybody's always going to compare the two of you. You know, this is the issue that we have.
Yeah,
you know,
like people, viewers, that's on y'all.
People watching this right now, like, oh, I like Natasha's, you know, white hat. People are like, no, I like Tia's tan hat. You know, I mean, they just do this to us.
She's taking fashion risks, you know.
Yeah,
I had a meeting at Saks Fifth Avenue the other day because they're interested, you know, and especially my fashion advice. So sometimes you take risks, they don't work, but sometimes they pay off, and that's part of being a fashionista.
Are you wearing a collared shirt and gym shorts right now?
Don't worry about what's on my bottoms,
Let's see the bottoms, Joe.
And I ripped them, too. All right, moving on.
He got the thigh out, honey.
All right, we ain't giving no style advice. I got PJ pants under my pregnant belly right now. So,
Well, I will tell y'all, she is wearing a nice little terry cloth. It's a fit, you know. It's a fit. It's a two-piece.
There we go.
Last one for the day. This one is kind of juicy, actually, because it surprised the hell out of me. But Peter Weber and Kelly Flanagan were spotted together. Not once, but twice, right? I saw pictures of them at the airport. Apparently, they were at a baseball game, too, together. And this is like 2 years after they split.
I saw the baseball game. I mean, maybe they're just friends. I don't talk to Peter or Kelly, but maybe they're just friends now.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I personally... I've hung out with Peter a handful of times. I met Kelly in Chicago when I did Caitlin Bristow's show. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like them both.
I think
you never know. No, like you never know. Like people, sometimes things don't work out at first and you rekindle and then you're both like, huh.
Well, that's what they did last time.
Do you think they're a match?
Do I think they're a match? Maybe. I wouldn't be shocked. I could see them being happy together.
Does Peter's mom like Kelly? Because that's important.
I know she did at one point.
Yeah, she was a big Kelly fan.
We got a phone a friend. Barb, tell us the tea.
I know. I wonder how Barb feels about all this. Was he flying the plane that they were walking to in the airport? I was really curious about that.
Well, so here's another thing.
Maybe. He's flying all over now.
Here's my hot take on this. We know Kelly loves to travel. Maybe when they were dating, Peter added her to his flight listing. You know how
companions.
Yeah, they have those things. You know, your parents fly automatically. Your buddy pass. Yeah, exactly. Your parents fly, I think, automatically if you work for an airline. And then you get so many companion passes or whatever, right?
And she's like, hell yeah, you promised.
Yeah. So maybe she got added to that, which was, if she did, very smart, Kelly. Very, very smart.
Well, but it's not like they're in Tel Aviv. They're in Chicago. I think she lives part-time in Chicago, and he lives in New York, so it's an hour away. So I think they clearly met up in Chicago.
But I think Chicago's a hub, right?
Probably.
I'm trying to say is that...
Sucks.
I just think that if she did that, and I hope she did do that, go ahead, girl.
Well, yeah, she's an attorney, right? She's a lawyer. She's like, listen up. You promised me that you would do this. Yeah, I'll sue your ass if you don't fly me to wherever I need to go because you said
I'm going to release the receipts, Peter. Put me on the buddy pass.
We'll
it's
see.
Fun to speculate. Yeah, we'll see, but it's really fun to speculate.
Yeah, I personally think when I saw them together, I was like, oh, you know, they have history. You know, they're adults. Yeah, exactly.
Happy for them if it works out. Should we talk real quick about the show? Anything that stood out?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Oh, gosh.
I was surprised Gabby sent Nate home.
I saw that coming a mile away.
Right then, though?
Yeah.
On the date?
Yeah.
Okay, so
near the end. There's only two more episodes left.
The moment the episode started, I knew she was going to send his ass home.
Yeah, me too.
Because I think she mentioned before that she didn't know about kids and stuff like that. She definitely mentioned that before. And, you know, but my question is, first of all, it was super sad. I was like, oh, Lord. Oh, God. Y'all don't do this to me. But do you think that if he didn't have a kid, we would be seeing his hometown right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I think the kid was kind of, especially in this show, because the end goal is to get engaged. And if Nate gets down on one knee, she's instantly not just a wife. She's now a stepmother.
Uh-huh.
That's it's a big enough decision to decide, I want to get married. You know, you add another element to it. So, yeah, I do think if he was if he didn't have a kid, I think he'd still be there. I don't know if she'd pick him, but I think he'd still be there.
Has there ever been a bachelor with a kid or a bachelorette with a kid?
Yeah, I think.
Emily Maynard.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. It was a late. Yeah. Okay, got it. Yeah. Okay, great. Jason Magnet. Okay, our producers are
something. I think something that stood out. Well, and this is relevant to our guest that we're bringing on, but I'm going to jump towards the end of the episode with Tino being emotionally upset and getting all upset that he didn't get the rose. I think he would probably look back at it. At least I hope he would, and be like, I kind of acted a little ridiculous, he's gotten every rose.
Right.
She was clearly going to pick him. They clearly have probably the best connection. I don't know if he knows that, but
at that time, maybe not.
You could tell he had wine teeth, so he was a little tipsy.
I have a question for you guys. When I was watching this, do you think? Because I was like, we got to unpack this. Do you think he went this crazy or was saying the things that he was saying because he's really now like, oh, my God, I'm in love with this girl and I need this constant validation from him? I mean, from her. Or do you think he just kind of got a big head and was like, I don't care about these other relationships. It's me and you. Fuck this. You know what I mean?
There's a competitive, you're talking about the competitiveness aspect of the show.
Right. It seems more of a competition thing.
See, I think this man is terrified. I'm like, because he said something like, I told her how I felt, and when I told her how I felt, her face lit up or something like that. I think he now is looking for constant validation from this woman.
Mm-hmm. He's getting insecure. Said he hasn't had these feelings of insecurity until now, and it's kind of like slapping him in the face, and he's like, oh, shit.
Yep.
Playing devil's advocate, though, a lot of things he says come across strategic. Like, he is like, I'm doing everything right. Like, when the audience hears that, now I don't know if necessarily that's how he means it, but when the audience hears that, it sounds like, oh, well, you're just trying to win a game.
Okay, so that's interesting that you say that, because for instance, let's say the competition that they did with the cheese on the shoulders and stuff.
Yeah,
I took that as like, I my shoulders are cracking and I did that for you, and like, I'm winning these things, I'm making you feel seen, I'm doing all this stuff, I'm doing everything right. That's how I took it. And like, how do you not give me the group date rose? Like, how don't you see everything that I'm doing for you?
Well, see,
I don't know.
Yeah, but I think the cheese thing is more of a competition between guys, and he just wants to win. Here's the thing. I don't know. I think it could be a little bit of both, but I do think there's no way I watch it, and I definitely think that Tino is really into Rachel. Like, he definitely is still really into her. There's absolutely no way he's just doing it to win and then he wants out. Like,
I don't think so either.
I don't think that. But I do think there's probably a part of him that is very competitive and wants to win, and it is also like, I don't know.
Yeah, so, and that's what scares me sometimes about this show, because I do think that sometimes people get caught up in that winning aspect, and then once they get out of this environment and now they are with or dating or whoever the person that they're dating, it's like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? Now we actually have to be together.
Yeah, I think that happens for sure.
It definitely
happens. The most important part when you're with somebody at the end of the show is after the show and spending time with that person and really trying to make it work, because it takes both people to be together and really try to make it work. And if you do that, you have a good chance. And if you don't, you're most likely not going to make it.
Yeah, but it is very easy to get swallowed into the show of it all. And I think that's what we saw.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what we saw here for that day.
Anyone sipping on wine? Like, who knows?
Right.
You know, I sip on wine, I'll get a little cocky myself and be like, fuck this.
Well, he also kind of was like, these dudes ain't got nothing on me.
He
kind of said that, and it was like,
he did.
Like, are you feeling yourself that hard, or are you really meaning that for your relationship or your, you know? We had Tino on the podcast, and shoot, I want to know.
Tell but that me, could Tino. Be that could be the wine talking. But
exactly. One last thing. Gabby's date with the erotica whipping.
I wanted to hear what she was saying.
That's another thing. Why are you bleeping everything out? Everybody, like, it's 2022.
I wanted to hear it too.
Like, come on.
And I also, I mean, I know they probably didn't want to show this violence on ABC, but I wanted to see the lady actually whip them.
Yeah, I wish they would have leaned into it a little bit more.
Come on.
And just been honest. I wish whenever the lady asked, whoever she asked, do you enjoy going down on your woman? I wish the guy would have been like, hell yeah, absolutely. She comes first. I don't know. They were like, I'm not.
In both ways.
Tia,
she comes first or she
both.
Comes first?
Both. Nice.
But they were just like, I'm not answering this. I'm like, just say it.
Now, I do think if it was just Gabby and the woman and the guy, and they weren't in front of each other, they probably would have been more open.
Oh, yeah.
Because they kept looking at each other like, don't want to talk about this in front of my guy.
I mean, but that's what I don't understand. Like, if the guys are competing for her, they're all into her. Like, I think they should have been like, whatever you want to do, baby.
Shout out to Johnny, because Johnny was all for it. He didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Yes, we could talk about this all day, but we have to talk about the clickbait. This clickbait comes to us from Instagram.
They threw some funny lines in there too. I actually really appreciate it, but go ahead. Sorry to cut you off.
So, okay, yeah, I can't wait to know what you thought was funny about this.
Yeah.
So, Vice posted a post, and it is titled, How to Break Up with Someone Like a Decent Human Being.
Well, and it caught me there. I'm like, oh, good, yeah.
Yeah, and then
good.
They proceeded to basically ram us. The first thing that they say is, don't date someone shitty in the first place. That goes without saying. I'm like, huh?
Wow, killer advice.
It's like, what happened to the decent human being vice?
Well, their one point was stay hydrated, and that's like something I would say. Like, just
that
make
was
sure,
funny.
Make
yeah.
sure you drink a lot of water because yeah, it's only going to help. You know,
it says awful things. It says awful things happen when you don't. Yeah, that's true.
But it's true. I mean, you're going through a shitty breakup. The last thing you want is to be dehydrated.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
The person that commented, can't break up with you right now. I'm dehydrated.
Like, what?
Yeah.
The comments?
The comments are funny.
The comments are very funny. You know, if you guys are listening to this, please go and look at this. The first comment literally says, who the fuck wrote this?
I love it. This is something that I would write. I think it's great. Because I remember once I tweeted, like, if you're having a bad Monday, just think about that Monday when you had a canker sore. It's got to be better than that. But it's just so true. Like, you know, when you get a canker sore, you're like think about
brutally honest.
Like, yeah, like if you're going through a bad breakup, what's worse is if you add a canker sore on top of it, it's going to like not only be suck, but it's going to be like physically painful.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Number three on this list really pissed me off. And I was like, where the hell are we going with this?
Wait, oh, part three?
Now, part one, number three says, acknowledge your faults. You know what the common denominator in all of your failed relationships is? You.
I said, I feel attacked. I thought we were being decent humans here. What? Yeah, no.
It just got weirder, too.
Yeah, and, you know,
I think it was meant to be a comedy, though.
Yeah,
it was meant to be satire.
It's got to be.
Satirical.
Yeah, don't try to fuck your way out of it. That was funny. There was one thing that I thought was interesting. In part three, don't isolate yourself. Not only does that it doesn't make you feel any better, it actively makes you feel worse.
That one was legitimate.
Yeah, and I will say that I am so guilty of that when I am sick, when I'm sad, when I'm depressed, I don't want to talk to anybody. My phone's on Do Not Disturb. I just want to be by myself with my dog. And, like, that's it. Like, that, like, and sometimes.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with that if that works for you.
Yeah, and it does. But then there's times when I'll have a very, very pushy friend that's like, bitch, get outside. We going to get fucked up. We're going to drink. We're going to this. We're going to that. Da, da, da. And I'm like, okay. And then you go out. And you're like, oh, this is great. Actually, I love you so much. Thank you for getting me out of the house. Wow. So, you know, we love those pushy friends who check on you anyway, you know.
Yeah.
Shout out to those people. So, yeah, this was very funny for the most part. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Chill out.
Yeah.
That was in the last part. And also recognize your irrationality. You're not thinking clearly. Your mind is clouded with regret, bourbon, or both. That was pretty funny. I do think, like, as someone who practices mindfulness, we can go down a deep, dark hole of regret or sadness or whatever when something doesn't work out. And that you can't, we are not our thoughts. And we have to keep remembering that. You know, if something doesn't work out, it's like, it's my fault. It's me. It's like, that's not necessarily true. And that's why that completely contradicts what he said about you're the common denominator. It's you.
Yeah.
So thanks, Vice, for the comedy. There were some interesting things here. If you guys are listening, you should go check out these comments because the comments really are
comedy. The whole post. Great post. Funny post
Vice,
overall.
Who hurt you?
Great post. Great comment. And it's the perfect segue to bring in our guest because he just got dumped again. So he must be the common denominator. No, I don't know if he's ever been dumped before. But he actually seems like he has a great sense of humor. Everyone, please welcome Ethan to the podcast. Ethan, welcome. Welcome to Clickbait. Happy you're here. What's
Appreciate
up?
It. Not too much, man. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk a little bit. Let's talk about the show. How'd you get on it? What were you doing?
Yeah, so I actually just moved out to New York. I was working in Denver for a little bit. It was kind of still when COVID was going on, so came back home.
Not to stop you there, but what do you do for a living?
I was working in big tech. I was doing advertising. Moved out to New York. My office was actually on the west side. It was right by the vessel. What's that? Meat packing?
Yeah.
Mm. Or Hudson Yards.
Hudson Yards. That's like right where I live. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. So I was working in advertising. I was doing advertising sales out there. Moved to New York and was, you know, a young single guy in New York. And the show reached out via Instagram.
Another one.
First, I thought it was like a prank or something, honestly. And I was like, all right, you know, I'll keep entertaining this. And then one thing led to the next. And next thing you know, I was, you know, interviewing, got the offer in New York and was like, let's do it. I'm ready to go.
Did you, were you somebody that watched the show prior or at least knew what it was?
I obviously knew what the show was. I hadn't watched in years. Yeah. My mom used to watch back in the day, but I hadn't watched. The last season I watched was Clayton's. Study up, do my homework on the potential suitors, right?
Go ahead, Natasha.
I was just going to say, did you watch Clayton's season while it was airing, or did you watch it once you found out you were going to be on the show?
So once I found out I was, you know, in serious contention, I was like, well, I probably should watch the show, figure out the dynamic, see what some of the ladies are like. So I started watching kind of like halfway through when I knew the process was getting serious.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a hunch? Who did you think watching it, who did you think was going to be the Bachelorette?
So at first I thought it was going to be Elizabeth Corrigan, you know, with all that noise that she was making from the beef with Shanae. So I was like, oh,
really? You thought it was going to be her?
They were because I mean, there was a bunch
you don't
of like,
watch the show. Okay.
I watched. Maybe the first couple episodes, and then I skipped through a little bit. But at first, I was like, okay. And then later, as it got down the road, you know, I was like, oh, it's got to be either, you know, Susie, Rachel, or Gabby, which I was stoked on because all three of them, you know, are great people, are definitely my type. So, and it just so happened it was two out of the three, which I thought was even better.
So now knowing Gabby and Rachel – and Rachel sending you home, do you dislike either of them or both of them?
No.
You sure?
No, not at all. Not at all. I've never been the one to burn bridges or, you know, leave with a sour taste in my mouth.
We are not the same, let me tell you.
No, okay. We can chat about that, Natasha, over drinks. Maybe you can teach me. I'm a little too nice.
No. I'm not saying my way is the right way. I'm not saying my way.
All right, so you made it really far. I felt they were showing more of you as the later episodes went on, and you know, you were an easy guy to root for because you seemed like a nice, legitimate guy.
But we didn't see.
I don't think we saw your connection with Rachel.
I know, man.
That much. So yeah. can you tell us? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah.
I feel like there's always one, like, every season.
Yeah.
And then you kind of get a redemption story later.
I would say you and...
I hope so.
You and Spencer, we really didn't see either of your relationships with the women.
Yeah. No, Spence is a good guy. Yes. So we both left. What was it? Week six, just right before fantasies or right before
hometowns.
Yeah. And, I felt like we both had a good connection. I don't know if we were vocal about it enough. I definitely felt like in the moment it was a super genuine and real connection. There was a lot of people though. That's the thing with two bachelorettes, right? Is there's just double the guys and double the girls too. So instead of it being, you know, the last five guys, I guess it was the last 10 really, yeah. Spence and I. So I think that was the one, not problem, but just kind of downfall as to why I didn't get a whole lot of time with Rachel. But our connection is definitely true and real. And when I left the boat that night in Amsterdam, I was 100% ready to bring her home and introduce her to my family. So I'm bummed that the audience didn't get to see that further. I do agree with you, Joe. Like, I think the last two episodes really showed my true personality and you know, my true colors. But yeah, it's a shame. I mean, with that many guys and two bachelorettes, you know, you got to make the most of what you have. So I felt like I did the best I could, and that's all that I could ask for, really.
But do you think, in comparison to the other guys, I know we didn't, as viewers, see it, but do you think you got a good amount of time with Rachel?
Yeah. Do I wish that I had more time with her? Yeah, I feel like in hindsight, everyone's like, I wish I just had more time with her. I mean, it's so quick, you know, the process is so expedited. And then when that group date got canceled in Belgium, that one really hurt me because I was like, I felt like I was teetering on the edge of, oh, I could really, really, you know, make a lasting impression bringing her home to the family. Like, this could be it. And so having that one get canceled, I was like, damn. Like, I was making a lot of progress. I think in France when I crawled on the floor and like, that's when we first had our first kiss. And that's when I really started kind of breaking down barriers. So I was like, I was stoked to get on to Belgium, have that group date again, kind of showing my true personality. And then when that got canceled, it kind of put a little dent in the momentum, but you know, bounced back at that Amsterdam one. So I did all I could, but yeah, of course I wish I had more time with her. I was also one of the only guys, I think I was the only guy left out of the top five of us that didn't get a one-on-one or any one-on-one time. So that kind of screwed me too. But of course, I wish I had more time with Rachel. It is what it is.
As a viewer watching it, and if you guys disagree with me, say it. But watching it, it does seem like Tino has by far the best connection. Was that the case there? Like, did you guys all feel like, well, Tino's kind of ahead of everybody?
Except
for maybe Avon. I think Avon has a pretty solid connection too. At least that's what it looks like.
I don't know, Zach.
No, I was gonna say Zach. I was gonna say Zach.
Yeah, I don't know, Zach. Yeah, to me, he's very much up there to me as a viewer. But so tell us what you guys thought while you were there.
No, I agree with both of you. I mean, you could definitely see it, and it wasn't just on screen. I mean, yeah, it was apparent when we were there too that Zach and Tino, I mean, those were her front runners, right? Zach had the second one-on-one date before I got a first. And I was like, and Tyler technically didn't get a one-on-one date either. He got that time, I believe it was after he won the group date in France. So it was just like time back in her room. But when Zach got the second one, we were like, damn, he's rolling. He's rolling into this thing hot.
Yeah.
And for actually, funny enough, Joe, Avon and I, when it was that last night, we were kind of like, you know, dang, it's you or I, right? And then he got his name called first. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, when it was you, when it was just you and Tino, did you know, like, were you like...
I mean, the thing is, like, she didn't know about the antics that he kind of pulled that day, but And so, yeah, I mean, when it got
when,
to that
when you
point,
say that, though, the antics, you're talking about the when he kind of he threw a fit, basically.
Yeah, when he got up off the couch and left all of us sitting there and was pouting. And I knew that, you know, that I wasn't going to go to her and affect that relationship that deep down. I think that's for her to figure out. But
I agree.
At that point, I was like, when Avon got his name called, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Tino and Zach were for sure her front runners.
Yeah,
and then he even got that good one on with Dave, so I know he had quality time with her. So when you guys name called, I was
So were you guys when Tino, you know, got all upset and worked up about not getting the roles? Were you guys like, this is ridiculous? Like.
Do you stand by your comment?
Which your comment was very funny. We watched it and rewind. Like, who said that?
Yeah,
we watched
that was
it.
Me, like, that, guilty.
That was funny. That was a you delivered it very funny, very very funny.
I'm glad you rewinded it, Joe, because I've had so many people reach out to me. They're like, I rewinded it 3 times and was cracking up every time.
Well, because you didn't see your face say it, so
I know.
It was either you or Avon, and I just couldn't figure out who it was at first, but then I put the voice together.
Yeah, yeah. Avon has a little deeper of a voice, but
yeah.
Yeah, I said it, and we were, like, walking away. It was after he got up and threw a fit, and we were sitting on the couch kind of just like, wow. Like, every time that he's gotten one, you know, we were like, congrats, giving him, you know, dapping him up, giving him pats on the back, and like super supportive. And so when he did that, we were kind of just like, all right, you know, it was just a little selfish. But yeah, we were walking away and we're just talking, and I was like, damn, you know, he's acting like a baby back bitch. And next thing you know, I turn around and I was like, oh shit, there's all these cameras following us. And I'm like, I was like, oh no. And I had a bad feeling then. I was like, they're going to air this out. They're going to air me out. I was like, I'm screwed. So I'm glad that it got portrayed in the proper light, because I do think that, Tia, I will say I stand by that statement in that time, you know, right. In that context. Yeah.
Totally.
But to watch my language a little when I have a camera on me.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you're always on camera when you're on the show. So
always mic'd up. So, when you watched it back, were you surprised at the other stuff that he was saying, or were you like, you know, he's like, wherever he is, he's like talking shit right now?
No, it got to a point where it was just a little selfish, because, you know, in that kind of clip after where we're talking it out, you know, I'm like, we're all here for the same reason, man, you know? And he did have a great day. He was crowned the Cheese King, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like,
and you're lactose intolerant, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
How was your stomach?
You know, it was a painful cocktail party, to say the least. Ugh. Washing all that cheese down with red wine and tequila.
Was
so,
it a smelly cocktail party?
I usually would leave the group if that was,
nice.
Was happening,
nice.
You know.
Good. Had, good. Yeah, good.
Yeah, yeah. I had to go get another drink or blow my nose. But yeah, no. I mean, when I was like, "Oh, this is a cheese day," huh? I'm like if I eat a cheeseburger, my night in the morning will be pretty rough. So yeah, I was like, oh no, of course this would happen to me on our last group date, of course.
Your last shot.
This ironic. Yeah.
All right, so you go home, you're off the show, you're single now. What are you doing? Are you going out? Are you dating? What's life like?
I guess I'm single as ever now that, you know, I'm off the show. My last relationship was on a cruise ship, so it's pretty crazy to think about.
Yeah,
but I'm single. I'm not like actively dating, kind of just hanging, going out with my buddies, you know, meeting people, not on the apps. So just been taking time to myself, to get grounded, to kind of come back down to earth after that wild journey. But it's been a wild ride. I'm glad to be home.
If they asked you to be the bachelor, would you do it?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, that's what you should say.
Yeah. I don't know. Do people say no? Because I'm like,
yes.
You don't want your shot at 30 beautiful women? Yeah. My ass, no. Of course I will. I mean, who doesn't want their shot at 30 beautiful suitors?
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be a crazy. They haven't had an Asian bachelor yet, or an Asian bachelorette, as far as I'm concerned. So,
yeah,
who knows? That would be pretty cool. People are stirring up a storm on Twitter and Reddit. I'm getting all these links sent to me about these Reddit threads. I don't even know how to use Reddit, but.
People are being nice on that.
They're giving me so much love. I was like, oh my god.
Interesting.
Tell those people I said hello. They
we don't
talk
about us. I don't.
I'm not deep in it.
so do you think, since now watching The Bachelor and now being on The Bachelorette and having two bachelorettes. Do you think the next season of Bachelor should be two guys, or do you think it should go back to the normal formula of just one?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. For me, when I heard that there were two bachelorettes, I'm like, this is great. Like, I got double my chances here, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if it's a numbers game, you just gotta bet you got, you know, a better shot at this. So, but looking back at it, I mean, like we were talking about, you know, that kind of divvying up 10 people when it's like right before hometowns and you have to show two groups of men. And I think the process, it could have been like a little smoother. I know it was kind of probably a lot of, like off the rip kind of new things for everyone, you know,
because
this is the first time it's ever been done. So, I mean, obviously I think if they did it next year and there were two guys, would it go probably a lot smoother? Yeah, I'm sure. Cause they wouldn't have to deal with, you know, those like Rose Ceremony 3 where people were like rejecting roses. I think maybe if they knew that right then and there, they had to do that, then they would try to make an impression more on just one person. I would be all for two guys. Like I said, maybe better my chances of getting that role, but I don't know. I'm indifferent, honestly. I enjoyed having Gabby and Rachel, but yeah, I think it was just kind of a confusing landscape, if that makes sense.
I personally think they should go back to one, but
yeah,
nobody listens to me anyway, so
yeah. I've asked pretty much all the guys from your season this, but did you know that you were, or when did you know you were going to go for Rachel versus Gabby? And like, when did you know that?
Yeah, I was honestly pretty set on her, like after I spoke with both of them. So it was probably the first week. That conversation that I had. So I had, you know, two introductory conversations with Gabby and Rachel, and then I just felt that Rachel and I had a connection right then and there. So for her to call my name, I was ecstatic, because I think Gabby is an awesome girl. She's definitely not rough around the edges. I mean, she's gorgeous. She's funny. Rachel and I just connected better, you know, as people and as two individuals. Right. I felt like she just kind of got me a little better. So that's that first week I was like, yeah, this is who I want to pursue. Like, I'm ready to kind of put all my cards in, or all my chips in on Rachel. So for it to work out the way it did, I was like, thank God.
Yeah.
We're gonna play a little game. Before we do, I want to just give you the hypothetical.
All right.
If they were to make you the Bachelor, and like you said, there has never been an Asian lead Would you feel a certain pressure being the first?
I don't know if I'd feel, obviously being the lead is a pressure mounting role. Being the first Asian bachelor, that'd be a little more intense, but no, I would wear it with pride, honestly. I mean, I think that'd be a huge thing, right? You know, like Simu Liu gave me a shout out. He was the first Marvel superhero, first lead.
Oh, he gave you a shout out?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
He posted me on his Instagram. He's like, make this man the bachelor. And then was DMing me. And I was like, there's no way. It was at like 2 a.m. I was scrolling through. And yeah, I'm a huge fan of him because he's, you know, super progressive and he's a super advocate of Asian representation. And when he DM'd me and reached out, I was like, damn, the first Marvel superhero reached out, the first Asian Marvel superhero, first Asian Marvel lead. And for him to hype me up, I was like, man, that's the biggest endorsement I could ever ask for. And so when people like that have your back, and I know that he kind of dealt with some adversity, he manifested that actually becoming, he was like tweeting at the Marvel director. I gave Mike Fleece a couple tweets, but I don't know if he's even read them. But I'm like, I'll manifest it. You know, if it happens, it does. I'm going to wear it with pride. I'm going to do my best to represent the Asian community. And I think that's something that I could do. You know, a lot of times in Western media today, you know, Asians are kind of represented as, you know, the quieter, shyer, you know, nerdier, you know, doctor roles. And I got a DM the other day. They're like, you know, as a mother, I've married a Korean man, but as a white woman, I have Korean children that, you know, they don't see a lot of Asian men in a romantic setting, in a romantic lead role in action movie, in any really movies, right? So for that to be a role that I could potentially take on and have that, you know, first Asian love story on TV and the biggest, arguably the biggest
reality love show.
Finding reality love show. Yeah, that'd be huge. So I would wear it with pride. I don't know. I wouldn't put too much pressure on myself. I think you just got to be yourself. And if you find love, you find love.
Yeah, I agree with that. And if it doesn't, if you don't get the Bachelor, you better DM him and be like, well, hey, that didn't work out. So in a Marvel movie.
Yeah,
like, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, you need a sidekick.
I'm
in. Let's do it.
Yeah, you need a Robin, your Batman, because the Bachelor's not working out anymore.
let's, should we play a game?
Yes.
Let's do
okay.
it.
So rapid fire, we just want to get to know you, let our listeners get to know you a little better.
Yeah.
So first thing that comes to mind when I ask you these questions, you ready?
All right, let's do it, yeah.
As a kid, your dream job was?
To be a fireman, probably. I wanted to slide down the pole.
Once upon a time, I wanted to slide down a hole too.
You know what I'm talking about? Like Three Stories in New York. Come on, Natasha, Joe, you've seen them.
Yes, I have. Do you have any pets?
I got my dog Callie here. This is our baby girl, Callie. Oh, she's sleeping.
She's done.
Look at her,
Gene. Oh, hi, cutie. So cute.
She's like, where am I?
How old?
Okay, you can go back to sleep. She's 11.
Oh, wow.
She's getting old. Cute. She's getting so a little old and chunky, but that's okay.
Hey, aren't we all?
Yeah.
It's hitting us all.
Okay, what's your go-to pizza order?
Oh, it depends where. I usually go pepperoni. I usually just go pepperoni, or I like a vodka slice.
Do you have any hidden talents?
Oh man, it's not that hidden. I walked out of the limo juggling. Everyone gave me shit for being the juggling guy. Apparently, there's someone. So I guess it's not that hidden, but that's a talent.
Nice.
Oh, juggling is good.
I can juggle. Yeah.
What's your current screensaver on your phone?
You could juggle and slide down poles.
That's a good question, actually. I could do it so much. Do it at the same time. Oh, yeah, it's Red Rocks. It's Red Rocks, actually.
Let's see.
It's Red Rocks, my favorite golf course. It's called Arrowhead, and that's my favorite concert venue. Yeah.
Are you a golfer?
I love to golf. Love to golf. Big golfer. You golf, Joe?
I could golf. I'm not. I want to get good, but I'm not. I'm not the greatest. I can play.
Yeah, my fiance golfs constantly. You have to golf constantly to be better, and in order to do that, you have to be gone all the damn time, and it's expensive. Right.
Okay, what is your sign?
My sign. I am a Virgo. I was born in September, September 13th.
Oh, almost your birthday.
Nice.
Yes.
It is.
Almost the B-day. What's your favorite curse word?
Baby back bitch.
Nice. For sure. Nice callback.
Yeah, you know, I got a lot of people that were like, this one girl DM'd me, she was like, I was calling my boyfriend baby back bitch all day just to see his reaction. I was like, oh God, why are you doing that? Thanks for adding to my vocabulary.
Wow. But I thought it was a pretty bold. Common word.
Yeah.
Your go-to karaoke song.
Your Man by Josh Turner.
The deep voice?
I can do it a little bit. But, not really. I don't have the southern twang because I was born in Colorado, but I try, you know, when I have a couple beers in me.
You can only pick one person, but who is the first person that comes to mind when you think of your wedding day from this season? Who would be there?
Damn. I gotta go with my boys, Meatball and Nate and Zach. They'll be there.
You're supposed to pick one.
You gotta pick one.
Oh, I said one person. Meatball first. I gotta go Meatball. I mean,
Meatball.
You saw how sad I was when I got the rose and he did it.
Yeah.
He's great. Yeah,
He danced for us when we asked him for hidden talent.
He did. We've had him.
I'll never forget.
I saw it.
It was great. It was great.
That's awesome.
Okay, last one. What is something on your bucket list?
Something on my bucket list. I've been crossing a lot of those off. Like that was just in Australia. I really want to go to, I want to travel Southeast Asia and go to Thailand, Vietnam.
Vietnam's supposed to be beautiful.
That's what I've heard too. Yeah. So I'd say that's right on my bucket list right now. I love to travel. So I got back from the show after Europe. I went to Australia to unwind a little. And then that was number one on my bucket list. Definitely recommend, one of the coolest places on earth. And then Southeast Asia, I'd say is up next.
Nice. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
That wraps our rapid fires.
Awesome.
And we've asked everyone this. You are the first person that we've had on the podcast, I think, that isn't still going on. But of your friends that we know you've talked to, can you describe the rest of the season that you know of in one word?
Or you could tease the mental all too, because the mental all is coming up.
Ooh, yeah. All right. One word to describe the mental all. How about that?
The rest of the season, I would say tumultuous.
Oh, someone said that.
Eric said
tumultuous.
Yeah. I don't know Eric had that into this vocabulary. I'm kidding, Eric.
Shit.
What's up, Eric? And then the tell-all? The tell-all. The tell-all is going to be, it's going to be ecstatic. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to tell you right now, Meatball shows out again.
Oh, God.
I'm going to just drop that right there.
So you got to look out for Meatball.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. He goes crazy.
Nice.
All right. Well, Ethan, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. And we hope to see you. If not the next Bachelor, maybe a Marvel movie or maybe Bachelor in Paradise. I don't know.
But or sliding down a pole. Yeah. This doesn't work out. I'll be a fireman. But I appreciate you guys. Thank you guys for having me. Seriously.
All right. Thanks for coming
out. Thank you so much. Wow, guys. Tumultuous twice. What the hell is about to happen on his damn show? Oh my God.
And one was still there or is still in the running and one's not. So that's very interesting.
Yeah, tumultuous.
Is there a chance that some guys send themselves home or something? Is that in there?
I don't know what happens, but all I know is that this is the part when we're supposed to be getting all the love. And people saying it's going to get tumultuous.
Well, we're near the end. Near the end. Just like this podcast.
How many more episodes?
I think two. Two or three.
Four.
And mental all. Yeah.
Well, including mental all.
Okay, gotcha.
Oh, yeah. There's two fantasy suite episodes, I think.
Okay.
Thank you so much to our listeners, and thank you to Ethan for being here. Make sure to catch new episodes of The Bachelorette every Monday on ABC or Hulu.
Yes, and thank you for all our listeners. We really appreciate you guys coming on and listening to us every week. It means a lot to us. It's how we are able to keep going. Make sure you subscribe, submit all your questions, follow us on social, ClickbaitBN on Instagram. That's the easiest one. That's where all the links to everything is on that page.
And share your stories with us. We want to know what clickbait you're looking at this week. Clickbait is available on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you guys listen. You can listen ad-free by subscribing to Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app. We'll see you guys next week.